Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow believers, and dear friends and guests with us today, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus lives. He really does, you know. Jesus lives not in our hearts, not in our dreams and our fickle hopes and imagination, but the very Son of God with his flesh and blood, born of the Virgin Mary, who truly suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, has come back to life, has stepped out of his tomb, and has appeared to his disciples, who were both overjoyed and quite surprised to see him alive. They shouldn't have been quite so surprised. Jesus had never lied to them yet. He had proven his power over death. He told them that he would be killed and that he would rise on the third day. And not only that, but the prophets told the same thing, including Jesus' ancestor, according to the flesh, King David, in Psalm 16, when he said this, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to the grave, or let your Holy One see corruption." As the apostles pointed out to the Jewish crowds later on, King David wrote those words, but King David was dead. And his bones had been buried and corrupted down to dust for 1,000 years. But that David hadn't written those words of the psalm about himself, but about the Holy One, David's offspring, the Son of David, the Christ. He is the Holy One who was not abandoned to the grave, who did not see corruption. He is the one who was raised from the dead. And that's what the angel told the women, the faithful women, who went to the tomb on that first Easter morning very early, expecting to find the body of Jesus being corrupted already by decay. How wrong they were. Instead of finding the stone in its place, they found it rolled away. Instead of finding the tomb occupied by the decaying body of Jesus, they found it empty with just the linens there folded up. And the angel, who announced to them the news that they could hardly believe, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Wouldn't you like to have seen it too? Wouldn't you like to have been there to peer inside the empty tomb, to see the stone rolled away, the linens folded up neatly, and the angel? Or what if you had seen it, the empty tomb? Then what? You would have been just as alarmed as those women were, just as afraid. Because an empty tomb all by itself isn't good news. The empty tomb of Jesus was a fact. Jesus of Nazareth, the offspring of David, had risen from the dead. That was a fact. But was it a saving fact or a damning fact? Who's to know? The only way to know is for God himself to reveal the gospel that tells what the resurrection of Jesus means only in the preaching of the gospel. And what does the gospel have to say about this empty tomb and the risen Lord Jesus? In Psalm 2, which we sang on Friday evening, It says this, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." So, those who take refuge in him are blessed, and those who do not take refuge in him will perish. So, according to the gospel, the empty tomb of Jesus means that his enemies and all who hate him had better be very afraid. The resurrection of Jesus is terrible news for the devil and for his demons. The resurrection of Jesus is terrible news for those who serve another God besides him, or for those who want to offer their own goodness and merits to God so that he accepts them because of that. It's terrible news to all who refuse to repent of their sin. Because if Jesus is dead, then you get to decide what's right and wrong for your own life. And when it's over, it's over. When you're dead, you're dead. But if Jesus is alive, then he was telling the truth, that he will return and raise all the dead, and that there will be judgment for all. So all who refuse to repent, all who don't believe in him, have much to be afraid about because of the empty tomb. But all who seek a sure refuge from God's wrath, all who want to be reconciled with God before it's too late, all who want this Jesus, this crucified one, for a Savior, the empty tomb is only good news. Because the gospel declares, Jesus was delivered up for our sins and raised to life for our justification. His death was sufficient payment for all sin, for every sin, for the worst sinner, for his most bitter enemy among men. And his resurrection from the dead means that there is a Savior to hope in, to trust in, so that all who hope in him, all who trust in him, all who look to him for the forgiveness of sins, stand absolved in God's courtroom in heaven, even now. The empty tomb means the justification of all who believe in the risen one. And with justification comes all the gifts and benefits of Christ, the adoption into God's family as his children, the forgiveness of sins each day handed out here in this Christian church, the full acceptance into eternal life, and an empty tomb for yourself when Jesus returns, and a place with him in heaven when he returns for judgment against all who refuse to repent, and for salvation for his believing people. That's what the gospel has to say about the empty tomb. Without that gospel, the empty tomb isn't good news all by itself. Without that gospel, the women who were so afraid to see the empty tomb that morning remained afraid until they saw Jesus for themselves later that day. Or more importantly, until they heard Jesus' word of peace. Then they rejoiced with a joy that not the bitterest persecutions could take away from them. You need to see Jesus for yourselves too, but not with your eyes. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed, Jesus said. Believed in what? Believed in the empty tomb? No. The devil believes in the empty tomb. Believed in what? Believed in God's promise of forgiveness in Christ. Believed in the gospel, in the word of God the Father, who emptied the tomb and raised his Son from the dead. believed in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. You here today have, in this Word of God, preached to you in this gospel something far better than seeing 1,000 empty tombs. This Word that I've been commissioned by God to preach to you today is better than all of that, because you can peer into an empty tomb where you won't see Jesus, or you can have this Word preached to you where you do see Jesus. You can have His sacrament here given where Jesus' own body and blood are truly present. Here you get to see Him in the Word of God, in His Word intended for you here today. I was delivered up for your sins and raised to life for your justification. Repent and believe the good news that he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. All week, during this Holy Week, I've been giving you things to remember about each day above all else. Today it's very simple. As I told our confirmand last Sunday, as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Let his enemies remember and repent. Let his people remember and rejoice. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.